This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We
are.
We
are.
We are Cultivate.
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 We are Cultivate.
On a sizable site in the center of San Jose, California, a once unfinished house began to take shape in the absence of any formal plans, official blueprints, or architectural concept. Doorways opened to empty walls, corners rounded to dead ends, and staircases ascended multiple levels before abruptly stopping. Sarah Winchester, the heir by marriage to the Winchester Weapons fortune, designed the home, and ever since construction started in 1884, rumors have swelled about the construction, the inhabitants, and the seemingly endless maze that sits at 525 South Winchester Boulevard in San Jose, California. Well, hello, fellow weirdos. It's Dom, and welcome to this week's episode of Horror House. I hope that everyone is having a fantastic week, and take this as your reminder that you are awesome humans. The fact that you're here means that you're absolute legends, and I appreciate that you've taken the time out of your busy schedules to listen to our episode today. And it's a very special one because we have some returners on the show, and I'm super, super stoked that they wanted to come back. And I'm super stoked that we finally managed to pin down a recording because it's something that I've wanted to do for a long, long time. So welcome back to Horror House, the hosts of one of my favorite podcasts, Spoils of Horror, Leo and Steven. Hello, boys.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so stoked, honestly.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. A lighter episode for you this time. As much as I love talking about Heaven's Gate,
It was a good episode, but it's nice to do something a little relaxed.
Yeah, definitely. I did see that Leo seemed quite happy when he heard that it was a Sarah Winchester Mystery House.
You did a good job of keeping this as a surprise from us. What you don't know is I'm actually well-versed in the Winchester House because it's a fan favorite of mine. So.
And what neither of you know is that my ex-girlfriend of many years did a long project on the Sarah Winchester House. So if I pass out during this episode, now you'll know why.
Also, I want to thank Leo for now making me shit bricks that I have. All of this episode is going to be wrong. Thank you, Leo. Thank you.
I'm just going to agree with everything you say, whether it's wrong or not, just to make you look good.
So for the people that haven't listened to your podcast, hopefully there are some people that recognize you from the first go around. But for the people that haven't listened to Spoils of Horror, again, like I did last time, I'm going to scold you. What the fuck? Sort it out. But if you could tell the people about your podcast, just tell people about Spoils of Horror.
I think we just tried to pass this off to each or the other one. Leo, take it away.
Okay. So yeah, it's a horror show podcast, but unlike others, we're not doing reviews. We're not doing any sort of critiques. We're just two guys hanging out on a couch, having fun, choosing a movie for each one to watch and talking about it the way you do, like if you would leave a movie theater with your buddies.
Grand.
Yeah, it's a bit of a variety show. Sometimes we, you know, we tell some jokes, we tell some personal stories about how these movies affect us. And sometimes I even sing songs. So
it's horrible. I mean, great.
That's when Leo's like, oh man, I'm doing my money's worth of editing on this episode because Steven's singing.
You don't know how much singing I had to cut out already. It's been a long time.
I sing two or three songs each episode. For somehow they don't make it in. It's weird.
We're going to be selling a CD at the end of the year.
I was about to say, when's your LP coming out? When's that going to be hitting shelves?
Spoils of Horror sings the hits. We've joked about that.
So one question that is very important that we need to discuss. So it's very important that I know where we're at with the manufacturing of the Horror House / Spores of Horror thong.
That's right. We're going to do it. It's going to be halvesies.
Well, see, you didn't tell me that. Now I'm going to get back in and recreate it. It's going to delay it slightly, but we'll get there.
It's because we were trying to screw you over, Dom. We were going to put us on the front and then you on the thin line on the back.
Oh, okay. Okay.
The one that goes in the crack.
It's just going to be your little face in that little triangle in the back.
I mean, as someone who's a bum guy, that isn't necessarily the worst thing.
You heard it here, folks.
What a place
to be. You heard it here.
If you want to support Horror House, there are a few ways that you can do that. We have the Buy Me a Coffee link. Amy is far better at coming up with ways to talk about this than I am. Essentially, it's a link in the bio or the show notes. You click on it, takes you to a website called Buy Me a Coffee. You can donate to the show, but it's fun because it's coffee, and you donate one coffee or two coffees or three coffees or 10 if you're feeling extra generous. And it's like a fun sort of wired. Yeah. Amy loves coffee, so she would love 10 coffees. But yes, it's a perfect way to donate to the show. And it's not like Patreon where it's a direct debit every month. It's a one-time donation. And if you want to do it once, you know, that is your donation. So if you want to do that, please do. We also have the merch store. So if you want to support the show, but also have something with our logo on it, you know, whether that's a hoodie, whether that's a t-shirt, whether that's stickers, whether that's the soon to be released Horror House Spores of Horror thong, which is coming. Keep your eyes out for it.
Leo's stitching right now.
That's what that clicking sound is. It's the needle point.
If you want to support us by getting some merch and represent the show, please do. So, Stephen, Leo, are you ready to dive in to the Winchester Mystery House?
Always ready.
So ready.
Good. When the Winchester Mystery House was built, it was simply called Sarah Winchester's house. Sarah Winchester, sometimes known as Sally after her paternal grandmother, was born in New Haven, Connecticut in 1839. In 1862, she would tie the knot with William Wirt Winchester, heir to the throne of the Winchester Repeating Arms Company. Winchester would give birth to a child named Annie Pardee Winchester in 1866. However, she was diagnosed with having marasmus, and she lived for only 1 month. Winchester's mother, father-in-law, and husband all passed away between the fall of 1880 and the spring of 1881, and her husband would leave her with a considerable inheritance. Now, I know I said that this is going to be a lighter episode. Four people have died.
After a great start.
This is going well. Mary Converse, her older sister, passed away in 1884. Fucking hell, that's okay. There's a lot of murder. Not a lot of murder. There's a lot of death so far, which is good. Good stuff. It is a lighter episode. It is a lighter episode, people. Don't worry. This is as death as it gets on this one.
He's just got 20 more to get through.
you thought it stopped now. Oh, don't worry, this is good. There's more where this comes from.
Question is, are you counting the amount of deaths that were caused by the Winchester rifles? Because then it goes up significantly.
Oh, that's a big kill count, isn't it? That would be the highest body count of any episode that I've ever done.
I'm proud part of it.
Sarah Winchester's doctors advised moving to a warmer, drier area around this time since she had started to develop rheumatoid arthritis. This is some rotten luck so far. I'm not going to lie. Jesus. So Sarah Winchester relocated from New Haven, Connecticut to California in 1885. So that's definitely somewhere warmer and drier. I don't know my American climates, but I'm going to say that's probably warmer and drier.
You're correct.
I mean, I would like, I don't know. Would I like to live in Cali? I don't know. Maybe Hollywood seems a bit fake to me. San Diego, California would be nice. I'd be up for San Diego.
San Diego's a cool town. I've been there. Lots of cool ghost stories there.
Oh man. Plus, I just want to be in the sun, like on a beach that's sand, not stones, and just disgusting like the English Channel is. Winchester's choice to relocate may have influenced by her doctor's advice. Her fond memories of visiting San Francisco with her husband in the 1870s and advertisements touting the state of California's climate and health advantages. A Winchester Repeating Arms Company representative from San Francisco named Edward Ned Rambo, not that Rambo, Ned Winchester on a tour of
It was his lesser known cousin. It was the little windy one.
it's the Rambo.
Chase Rambo, yeah.
Chase Rambo.
Very nerdy guy.
It's the Rambo.
Although I like thinking of Rambo doing this.
That'd be hilarious. Yeah, Edward Ned Rambo is the forgotten Rambo. He got planted in a mental institution and nobody speaks his name. Nobody.
If you do five times, he'll show up and make money off of you and be a nuisance.
Edward Rambo would lead Sarah on a tour of the valley in search of a home. He took her to see a 45-acre ranch that was up for sale close to San Jose, and she would buy the land from John Hamm, which comprised an 8-room, 2-story farmhouse. And let me tell you, people, it wouldn't be long till that was no longer just a small, humble farmhouse, because that boy gets big.
If I can't stop laughing, it's just because when you were talking about Rambo and taking her on a tour, I couldn't not picture a chopper. I'm sorry. I just have to go back to that.
Flying her across.
That'd be brilliant.
I wish I could do Sly Stallone's voice. I wish I could.
Never done that.
That was pretty good.
I impressed myself.
You should do your LP in literally just Sylvester Stallone's voice.
What? That's what we need. Sly Stallone and the LP.
What a great idea.
So Winchester recruited at least 2 architects with the intention of enlarging the farmhouse, but she fired them and made the decision to handle the planning herself. She meticulously planned each room, oversaw the work, and asked the carpenters she hired for guidance. I'm not sure firing both architects is a bold move.
It was a statement, absolutely. But
were they not giving her what she wanted? Does it say?
From
I want a staircase that goes nowhere if they wouldn't build it.
Architects are just like, are you sure? And Sarah's like, yes, I want my staircase. At least fucking up. It's fine. Don't worry. No, you're fired. I'll do it myself. You know what? I'll do it myself.
At this point, 10,000 steps a day.
At this point, we're still a little bit ahead of her psychosis, to put it politely, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. We're just a little bit ahead.
So she's just fired them just because they stink or something.
Just because they were like, you won't give me my staircase that leads to a roof? Like, oh, fine. No, you're done. So the then common Wells Fairs served as her inspiration for the design of the home. Although the home's size was comparable to other houses at the time, a woman managing such a project was unique. And according to Colin Dickey, in his book Ghostland, An American History of Haunted Places, she could be regarded as an architectural pioneer of the era. I also regard Colin Dickey as having probably the most unfortunate surname in the world.
Who was the guy that we just covered in our Invaders from Mars episode? Was it Tim? Was it Tim Bottoms?
Something like that, yeah. They'd have to look him up again.
Tim Bottoms.
Yeah. He wasn't winning any awards.
Served him well in high school.
Yeah. I was about to say, I bet you school was a barrel of laughs for Colin Dickey. Fucking hell. Every morning during the register, the teacher purposely doesn't say his first name. He's like, Dickey.
Dickey Butts.
She was known to start over and stop work. The progress did not satisfy her standards, creating a maze-like structure. A 7-story structure was reportedly destroyed and rebuilt 16 times, according to an article in the San Jose News. from 1897. I think building and then destroying and then rebuilding 16 times is just a little bit excessive, person.
It's yeah, I'm trying to think of what the difference between the 15th and the 16th was.
There was a crooked window frame, and she was like, fuck, you know, tear the whole thing down.
I'm saying that OCD is a bitch. When you have it, like 1 millimeter off, you just go crazy.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true, I can imagine. So there are walled off external windows and doors as a result of her extensions, because they were left in place as the house would grow in size. Multiple levels, up to 5, were added to different parts of the home, and it would feature elements of Gothic and Romanesque features, while the design would be primarily Victorian. The lack of a design and presence of an architect would lead to the haphazard way in which the home would be built, with rooms being placed onto outside walls and windows looking into other rooms. Not ideal to have a window looking into your room. That's
it's the weirdest B&B ever, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
With the sad status of my love life, it would be totally fine. I guess I'll take that room.
I mean, with the sad status of my life, I don't think anyone would want to see what happens in my room. Let's be honest.
You can go either way.
I mean, I guess if you like being watched, it'd be pretty ideal, wouldn't it?
No, that is true. That is true.
Oh, no, I left the window open.
Looks like we've got an audience again. How unfortunate. Who could have seen this one coming? Well, everyone's going to see it coming, really. Let's be honest.
Good shot here.
Oh, that was a college dance workshop.
There you go.
So in order to give each staircase a distorted appearance, several stairs would be constructed, each with a different size riser. What was even stranger was how meaningless many of the changes would be. A skylight was installed in the floor. Doors would open to solid walls, with one that opened to nothing but a two-story drop into the yard below. Passageways would round a curve and come to an abrupt end, and stairs would rise multiple stories before ending in the ceiling. Imagine, like, you're staying at the house for whatever reason. Maybe Sarah invites you over for, I don't know, for whatever reason.
Right.
And you're like, 2 o'clock in the morning, you're like, man, I really need to piss. And you go and try and find the bathroom in this just absolute mishmash of a house, and you open the door thinking you've gone into the bathroom, and then you just fall out the house to the fucking yard.
See, I think if they did a modern film that combined this house with H.H. Holmes' Murder Castle, it would be a hit.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It'd be, yes, but the difference between the two homes is that one worked and the other one didn't. And so
right,
this would be
the
like
idea of
highly
weird mystery hallways and secret passages and doors to nothing, and then one leads into your death trap or what have you.
The other one leads to a two-story drop outside.
Exactly.
Which
one could it be? That'd be a great like reality game show.
My point. That's it.
Oh, that would. Oh, that would. It could be like Takeshi's Castle, but
yep.
Oh,
I love this idea. Like 7 people have to stay in this house, and it's like, oh no, like do they get the one that has the drop that takes them outside? They just blow out their torch. They can't come back now.
Oh, hilarious.
You're out of the house.
Even H.H. Holmes comes in. He's like, you know what, Sarah, this house is too much for me. Sorry.
This is embarrassing.
I see what you did here. I don't like it.
Yeah. So even with the architectural oddities, there was no expense spared, as anyone who entered the house could see. In the ceilings above the hand-inlaid parquet flooring, chandeliers in gold and silver were suspended. The walls were covered with dozens of gorgeous stained glass windows made by Tiffany & Co., including some that Lewis Comfort Tiffany would himself design. All right, Sarah, bougie. How the other half lived.
Never mind what I said about H.H. Holmes being impressed. I do like the Tiffany windows.
Oh,
everything
dear.
Else got to go.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Where's the acid bath? It's all good having these windows, but where's my acid bath?
It's at the bottom of the two-story drop where it is.
One window in particular was designed to provide a prismatic rainbow effect as light passed through it. But since the window ended up on an interior wall, the effect was never realized, and it was kind of useless. Unfortunately,
that's got to be disappointing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They just hung a lizard lamp.
It's kind of like how, like, I got really excited when they was like, oh, a skylight. I love a skylight. And it's like they installed it on the floor. So it's kind of meaningless. Unfortunately, the San Jose earthquake of 1904 would cause significant damage to the house. The floating foundation, which bears a load equivalent to that of the soil around it, prevented the entire home from collapsing. In the end, the top three floors were taken out, leaving the house with just the four stories that are visible today. With the exception of some minor maintenance tasks and the addition of an elevator in 1916, Winchester did not work on the house after 1910, owing to deteriorating health. And in 1922, when Sarah Winchester did pass away, the home would feature 160 rooms, 2,000 doors, 10,000 windows, 47 staircases, 47 fireplaces, 13 bathrooms, and 6 kitchens. Is that excessive? Probably.
You can't trust that many stairs. They're up to something.
You really can't.
What? Yeah, I just picture her walking into like room 159 and being like, where the fuck am I? Like, am I at somebody else's house?
Can you imagine if she had Alzheimer's and just got lost in her own house? Couldn't make her way back to the kitchen.
It's never a good sign if you get lost in your own house finding your bedroom. that's
right. Yeah, like, did they have to decorate them for her? Did she like go in confused? One had like New Kids on the Block posters everywhere.
Whatever.
Who decorated room 147? Fired.
If I had 160 bedrooms, I or 160 rooms, I would, you know, sleep in most of those bedrooms every other night. I would just, you know, rotate.
Oh, those no doubt.
Yeah. Though saying that, 13 bathrooms is quite annoying, especially when I found that out of those 13 bathrooms, one of those was functional.
Makes it really confusing when the guests come over.
Right.
Yeah, right. Imagine you're just dying for a shit. You're like, Sarah, I really need to shit. I've been to 11 bathrooms and not one of them has worked. Which one is the right one?
One of them's hidden. You got to find it.
Can you imagine?
Oh, that staircase goes nowhere.
But don't use the downstairs back room. That's for company.
Turns out that they just
this could be part of the reality show.
That's right.
Turns out they just go through the door that leads to the outside and they just fall out of the house. It's just like, this is... really inconvenient.
Rob, 5 stories will fit themselves anyway, so it's not really a problem.
Takes care of itself.
That's right.
It does. Imagine, like, Sarah's just like, you know, Sarah's just destroyed a toilet. And she's just like, oh, no one go into that bathroom. And then the person's like, but which one? Which one is going to destroy that? I can't get into.
Oh, man. I was just thinking now about what if the smell carries? You wouldn't even know where it's coming from. You'd not be able to find it. Just permeate the house.
just go hide in room 157.
And if that room's occupied, just find any one of the 47 fireplaces and just cradle in there for a little.
Do you think she ever found a squatter? Like, do you ever think she found somebody that had been living in there for 10 years and she had no idea?
That wouldn't shock me at all. Like, genuinely.
I love the idea that somebody squatted in the house and knew the layout better than she did because he had to, like, sneak around. he could figure out the days better than she could.
he was one of the architects that she fired. He just came back.
That's right.
So unsurprisingly, over the years, different rumors, exaggerations, and myths have added to the mystique that surrounds Sarah Winchester. And well-known authors have made up or straight-up exaggerated facts about the house and its owner to feed the legend of, quote, kooky Sarah and her haunted mansion. Don't come after me, Disney, because I don't have the money to fight with you. On that note, let's take a quick break before we get into the myths and the legends so you can hear from some other lovely people and some other amazing podcasts. What do you think, boys? Do you think now's a good time to take a break?
Feels good.
Cool. We shall see you in not but a moment.
Hello, Twisted Humans. Do you find yourself wanting to know more about the latest murder, conspiracy, cults, or haunting?
Then this is the podcast for you. We're bringing the most intense stories that'll keep you up at night.
He was found guilty of voluntary manslaughter and felonious assault, but he
he was only sentenced to 5 months of probation, and this would be the last time that anyone ever saw Fiona. There are allegedly two women who also drowned in the first class pool.
Was this the same glowing green that they'd seen in the darkness the night before?
He had refused to sit near the wagon cloth because of stains on it, which were most likely blood. Join us every Tuesday for a glass of wine or sangria and a dose of true crime. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Sierra. And this is
Twisted and Uncorked.
Welcome to the Carolinas, where serial killers, abductions, and mysterious circumstances are abundant. Join me, Tiffany, and my co-host Sam, two moms, as we cover local true crime cases that will leave you wanting more. Tune in every weekend for our new episodes where we rotate between North Carolina and South Carolina true crime cases. Find us on all major podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio, and follow us on our social media. We're on Instagram at Cola City Crime, and you can find our Facebook page by searching our name, Cola City Crime.
Welcome back, everybody, to the second part of this episode, where we shall dive into Kooky Sarah and her haunted mansion. So, Susie Smith, a novelist, is credited with creating the urban legend surrounding her desire to go from the East Coast to California in her 1967 book, Prominent American Ghosts. According to Smith's account, Sarah Winchester went to a medium named Adam Coons in Boston, who informed her that she and her family were being haunted by the ghosts of the people that had been killed by the Winchester Rifles, and that she had to build a house for these ghosts, and that she should never finish the project. Seems legit.
What was the last name of that person? Kook?
Coons, which is that's kind of unfortunate.
Yes, yes, it is.
We've had some unfortunate surnames in this episode. Boy, oh boy.
Yep. I did not know that. I did not know that the medium was from Boston, which is where we are from.
There we go. There we go. I love when sort of stuff comes up on episodes that's like in Boston and like a medium. I'm like, immediately I think, oh, Leo and Steven will get a kick out of this. Since then, brochures and publications have consistently said that Winchester met a medium. However, there is no proof that Winchester met with a psychic medium, despite the fact that it is conceivable, given that it was regular practice for the ladies of her rank at the time. A researcher called Emily Mace and others searched through editions of spiritualist publication Banner of Light and Boston City Directories that mentioned spiritualists in the area, but they were unable to locate anyone by the name of Adam Coons. That could be because with that surname, maybe he just didn't want to be found. That could be because he wasn't there.
Changed his name several times.
very conceivable he was off the grid as well.
Yeah.
Some of those people were, not quite especially, not very well looked upon and come after, if you will, by the angry mobs.
Yeah, maybe he had a run-in with Houdini and then he was like, change my name.
Maybe he was Houdini.
This has just turned into a conspiracy theory episode, people.
or just us making shit up.
Everything that is said on the show is gospel, Stephen. I'll have you know.
Great. Then our podcast is amazing.
Okay, maybe not every... I'm joking. The notion that Winchester's sanity was in question and that she constructed her house in a bizarre, maze-like manner to confuse and prevent spirits from attacking her first surfaced in the middle of the 1890s and has continued to gain ground since her passing. Winchester's religiosity and bad mental health are demonstrated by the doors and windows that open to nothing, the abnormally shallow stairs, the stairs that stop in the ceiling, the inside barred windows, the trapdoors on the floor, etc., etc. However, these abnormal... I pronounced everything pretty well, and that just, fuck it out, that tripped me up. Jesus. These abnormalities in the house can be explained... Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot, Leah. That means so much. These abnormalities can be explained easily, according to paranormal investigator Joe Nickel and the author of Captive of the Labyrinth, Mary Jo Ignifo. Prior to the house modifications, the barred windows were outside windows that were closed up. The doors and windows that opened to nothing were a result of the 1906 earthquake and the severe damage that happened to the house. As Winchester's health deteriorated, the little steps were constructed. The trapdoors were constructed in a greenhouse area where extra water could flow and be routed to a garden outside. The most widely held misconception about Winchester's home construction at the turn of the 20th century, and one that is still prevalent today, is that she felt terrible guilt over all the deaths brought on by the Winchester Rifles and over having inherited such a sizable sum of money from the arms manufacturer. However, since the Winchester Repeating Arms Company was regarded as successful and guns were deemed essential for life in the 1800s, Ignifo contends that Winchester was unlikely to feel any guilt in reality.
That is very interesting, because I've heard that rumor too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it was all about the guilt, and that she was building this house as a way to like get ghosts to not be able to find her by, you know, going up the wrong stairs or going in the trap door. That's a very interesting point. Like, the time that she would have been making this house, the way we look at guns isn't the same now as it is then. That's very interesting.
Yeah. I really wanted to make an American gun joke, but nothing came to mind, unfortunately.
You got plenty. You're okay.
Dear.
I'm from Maine. I was given one for my second birthday.
I grew up in the projects, so mostly I just ducked and covered whenever I heard one. But
we aren't given guns. We're given what's very British.
That cup of tea in your hand?
Yes. Yes. See, that's why I reached for it, Stephen, because I needed your help on that one.
You're welcome.
But my tea is cold, and as a British person, that makes me extremely upset. But hey. Legend has it that Winchester's apparent fascination with the number 13 is the reason behind the building's 13 bedrooms, 13 baths, and 13 windows in certain rooms. However, these elements and the, quote, more irregular features which have made the house a world-famed odyssey were built after Miss Winchester's death, according to carpenter James Perkins. Thank you, James Perkins, for having the most normal surname we've had on this episode so far. I was very worried that that was also going to be a very unfortunate one. Another legend is that Sarah was having seances left, right, and center. Winchester's workers, who were with her every day, reported that she had little interest in seances and that there is no evidence that they were held in the home. This goes against the notion that she conducted nocturnal seances, either alone or in the blue room, from midnight to 2 a.m, when she conversed with the ghosts about the building. That should be done the following day. The closet seances were also improbable, because there were no records of seances at the home. They were typically social events rather than individual activities, and records indicated that the blue room was the gardener's bedroom. I'm kind of destroying the legend of the Winchester Mystery House, I've just realized.
Okay.
I think it's really interesting. I think it's really interesting to kind of compare the story with the, like, with the fact that there could be some level of reality as to, like, why the house was built and, like, what the different steps were that would have been taken and what the different needs that these staircases or trapdoors would have filled. I think that's very interesting.
Well, it was
and
very
I learned something.
Well, I was going to say, it's very easy back in the day to fall into superstition versus, you know, we didn't understand mental psychosis back then in the way that we do now. We didn't understand other things the way we do now. So it's easy to go, oh, well, she's crazy, or, oh, it's a ghost. And having so many more years since, because they're building on it for like 38 years before it all stopped. And just in that time alone, we went and we discovered more, we educated more, we became better people. And the facts around this are changing all the time based on what we're learning. And that's fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did find a term, though, that I'm going to steal.
Okay.
Because I'm never going to use the term nocturnal emissions anymore. I'm going to use nocturnal seances. Sorry, sweetheart. I had a nocturnal seance.
What can I say? I this is the podcast that just keeps on giving. What could I say? Plus, Stephen's learned something. So if anything...
The more you know.
That means as well as horrify on this podcast, we also educate. But what about the hauntings that are so linked to the Winchester Mystery House? What about the ghosties that call the mansion home? Well, both tourists and tour guides have reported encountering chilly areas, footsteps, cooking odors, strange noises, whispers, slamming doors and windows, and feelings of being watched. According to investigator Joe Nickel, this These might be the product of confirmation bias and suggestibility brought out by media attention and reports that the house is the most haunted in the country. It's important to remember that Mary Jo Ignifoe stated that tour guides are forced to adhere to a script that places a focus on embellishments and inaccuracies. Kind of shits on the super haunted house theory a little bit, doesn't it?
It does, but you know, if people go there and have a good time, I'm totally fine with that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I think there's probably a fair amount of people that do go there and think, you know, it's very sort of hyped up and very legend and very embellished, but I'm still going to enjoy the architecture of the house and how just bizarre it is.
Well, and I think also, you know, I've been on a lot of ghost tours in my life, and I'm not much of a believer, but I enjoy the stories.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's hard for people to understand that, like, I can go on a ghost tour and hear the story and enjoy it and get into the moment and get a little afraid while at the same time being able to step away from it. So I bet there's a lot of people that are just doing that too. They're enjoying the moment. It's fun. It's fun to be scared.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't say I'm a skeptic because I love sort of watching, you know, horror films that are centered around, you know, poltergeists and hauntings and stuff like that. And I like to listen to podcast episodes that are about, you know, demons and, and possession and stuff. But because I haven't experienced anything personally, I can't say that I'm a full 100%. Like, I need something to happen to me for me to be like, okay, I firmly believe yes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a healthy skepticism, I would say, with the way I sort of.
I'm exactly the same way. And I'm curious now, what happens with me is I've done a lot of ghost hunts. I've done a lot of things because I want the experience. I'm keeping an open mind so I can experience something to the level of what you're saying. And then nothing happens.
Yeah.
And people are like, well, you don't believe enough. So I go in there with full focus and nothing happens. And they go, well, you're trying too hard. And I don't know if this has happened to you or not, but it's really frustrating because nothing ever, people can come out of I went to the Conjuring house for an overnight, and there was three other groups of people there. They all came out going, this experience and that experience and these weird things happened, and literally nothing happened to me. Nothing that I couldn't say was just creaky floorboard or some other such thing. And I don't know what it is about me that these things don't want to talk to or experience around. But I keep looking for that experience to happen.
Yeah. And I find that I'm always very quick to disregard stuff. Like if I see something out the corner of my eye, straight away, I'll always be like, you know, that's nothing. But I did. So this was a while ago now, when my nan passed away. I was picked up from work because I was living and working at the same place at the time. And my parents picked me up and they drove me home the day after they sort of broke the news. And we were talking about my nan, and she loved to drink sherry. Absolutely loved it. And we were talking about my nan. And then while we were talking about her in the car, and I can't explain it to this day, and it stayed for about maybe a minute or so, in the car, there was a very sweet smell of sherry that just came out of nowhere, stayed, and then went away again. And all of us in the car, even my stepdad, who is the biggest skeptic you'll ever meet in your entire life, even he was like, that was really strange. And I can't explain that still. So in a way, I've had a little bit of a personal experience, but nothing that would make me be like, you know, I'm a 100% believer. But it was odd. It was very odd.
That's what keeps me hooked, though, is I've seen enough odd things that could not be coincidence like that.
Yeah.
So I keep looking for the big haunting. I want to see, you know, the shadow figure on the wall or the stuff being thrown across the room or things that I literally have no explanation for other than supernatural.
Yeah.
Now, just to say one thing, Leo on our show has constantly talked about how he is oblivious to when women are hitting on him. So he may just be totally unaware. Like he could just be standing in the middle of a haunted room and like a vase could float by and he could be like, could be anything.
I didn't say it was women who were hitting on me. I said generally social skills at all. Fairly obvious. People got to be very direct with me or I'm just out. I don't get it.
I just picture you standing in the middle of a haunted room and being like, I don't sense anything. And then the camera cuts back and you're floating in the air.
Leo gets given somebody's number, and then a week later he's like, oh wait, no shit, I think she was hitting on me. but yeah, I think it's definitely fascinating that, you know, some people are full-on believers, other people need a bit of convincing. The only convincing I've had is that I will turn around in bed and see my clothes pile on my chair look like a demon at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's pretty much all I've had.
Yep.
That's why I don't have mirrors in my house. I don't need to see me.
The amount of times that I'll get scared by the fucking coat that's hanging on my wardrobe or something like that. Definitely some shadow figure that's just watching me as I sleep.
But I will confess, this part of it for me, though, is I'm fascinated by the human mind and what I call an armchair psychiatrist. I don't really study it or go to school for it, but I'm intrigued. And I know there are things like pareidolia. I know there are things where the human mind is always looking for a logical answer to what you're looking at. Yeah. And we'll find whatever it can to justify what's happening around you. And that says a lot about hauntings in general. Things that people say they see could just be because everyone around them is freaking out about something. So their brain's trying to make sense of things in a way that fits the context of what's around them. And so you can't really trust it half the time.
And I think especially with this house, you know, I have a feeling that because it's got the moniker of the most haunted in the country and people have seen the media attention, people have seen the stories and, you know, people have seen things, you know, as I said, confirmation bias has probably played a big part in
exactly that.
In the house.
Yeah. When you have a house that is so wackadoo that I can imagine a draft or a weird floorboard will make some sort of sound or slam a door or cause things to happen. It would be perfectly natural in a place like that for that sort of thing to occur. Yet people, because of the hype and because of all of the media attention around it, are just automatically going to go to ghosts.
There's something powerful about a story.
Oh yeah.
You know, my parents' house was the lower, so like the basement and everything in the basement was built out of a ship that shipwrecked out in Maine. So they took all the wood and they put it down there, and you can see it. There are like giant ship beams down in my parents' basement.
That's cool.
And cool. It's really cool. It's great. But when you're down there, you know, it has a vibe because, of course, I heard all these stories. And then, of course, I got in my head and I loved horror movies and I loved scary things. And so, you know, it was a ship that wrecked. You know, I don't know that people died. I had heard that in the story, but it was like, and then, you know, every creak and every floorboard becomes a new ghost story about my parents' basement.
Yeah.
And then he's got this pirate ghost that visits him, and then 14 of the dogs show up to find out what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I've got a whole pile of invisible friends.
There's a ghost parrot on his shoulder, like, got the whole shebang.
Yep. It was Maine, so it was a moose, but yeah.
Moose.
There is no proof that the house is haunted, and purported whispering noises can be imagined or caused by wind, as we just alluded to, according to Nickel. Additionally, temperature shifts are typical in old, sprawling, drafty houses. Strange noises may also be explained by the house's movements and changes in the outside temperature. So maybe there's not really that much of a mystery. But we also love a story, as Stephen said.
Mm-hmm.
So when Sarah Winchester was still alive, rumors circulated about a storage room in her house containing over $25,000 in hidden treasures, including a Tiffany window with a spiderweb pattern that Winchester herself had designed. In 2016, a secret attic was discovered, though there's no proof it was the same secret storage room. Inside the attic were a pump organ, a Victorian-era couch, a dress form, a sewing machine, and various paintings. How difficult must it have been to get that couch in that attic? Jesus.
How much did she have to pay those movers? Like, most people, they just offer their friends a beer or a pizza. What'd she have to give them to get through that maze?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, her friends must be like, I am never helping that bitch move again.
You just know that, like, they'll be like, okay, so is this the attic? She'll be like, no, sorry, it's the other one. And then they'll have to take the couch back out.
Staircase to the 14th floor.
Don't take the one next to it. It goes nowhere. don't forget the chaise lounge.
And you know that one guy on the back end, he's like, turn it left, you asshole. Like fighting the whole way through.
Sarah's just like, man, I haven't seen the movers with the couch. I wonder where they are. And they just, she just opens the door that leads out to the fucking yard. And they're just sprawled on the fucking ground.
Can you imagine there's like a pile of 10 couches and 12 bodies?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking they got it all the way upstairs and they were just like, we're done. They just found skeletons and a U-Haul uniform.
Yeah, I would want a lot of money from Sarah Winchester if I'm moving anything in that house, couch or not. So visitors to the Winchester mansion occasionally claim to feel the alleged ghosts that have long lived there. However, paranormal studies have, of course, found nothing. But perhaps there are still some spirits haunting the abode. Maybe even Sarah Winchester herself. And that was the case of the Sarah Winchester Mystery House. How did you find that one, boys?
Oh, I love that story. That's a great story.
Yeah, it's
it's a lesson that if you own a haunted place and you use an attraction, you should never call paranormal investigators because there's a chance that they'll say, nope, haunted.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that happened with Houdini. We mentioned him earlier, but he actually tried to debunk this back in whatever time era and failed to prove anything was haunting the place at all. Or was it debunking it? I can't remember. Either he failed to prove it or failed to not prove it. I don't remember, but it was fascinating. He did a whole seance there and, it was a very interesting part of the history of that place.
I did remember reading up about that when I was researching and finding stuff about it. But it's, you know, as we said, it's a fascinating story for sure. And obviously it's it's something that brings in a lot of tourists. It's something that has an interest for sure. I just want to see Douchebag Bagans go and investigate it now because that would be hilarious.
He finds spirits everywhere. Wonderful job.
Yeah. I know. He seems to get possessed a lot. I'm just saying a lot.
Well, it's so easy to do that on camera and make it seem like something. That's why.
If he's not getting possessed, then he's being like, this is the most haunted room in the building, the basement where 50 people have died. And what Aaron's going to do is he's going to go in there by himself and he's going to be locked in. And Aaron's just like, what?
Right.
Right.
Right. Which one of my staff pissed me off this week? They're going to spend their own time in here.
You showed up late 3 times this week. You get to stay in the haunted room all by yourself.
It's interesting though, to Stephen's point, we all love to have a good tale to tell. And with a lot of the modern debunking that's happening, just not even on purpose, but we're just getting better tech and we're getting better ideas and notions of how things go. It's ruining some really good stories.
Yeah.
And it's okay to just let them be stories and just have fun with it. We don't have to always go out there and, whether you believe or not, prove that these things do or don't exist and just ruin the fun and the atmosphere for everybody.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder where the balance is because, again, I do consider myself a skeptic. I'm not opposed to the idea that there are things that I don't know, but I generally approach things like ghosts with skepticism. There is also a certain point that I'm like, you know what? Like, with all the things that are going on in the world, I'm not like deeply concerned with whether or not people believe that a whisper that they heard in the Sarah Winchester house is something that needs to be debunked, especially with other things that I think would be more valuable to be debunked.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Yeah, there is a really interesting balance between, facts matter. Facts absolutely matter.
Mm-hmm.
But also just, when is a good story enough?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fun to, I've sat down in front of YouTube with my friends before and watched some of those, top scary ghost videos caught on camera or whatever. And it's a laugh, whether you believe it or not, whether you actually see anything or not, or you just sit there and goof with each other about how bullshit the whole thing is. It's still a good time.
Yeah.
It's funny when those videos come up, I tell people, you're like, oh, you should see them. But I'm like, it doesn't matter whether they're true or not, because either they're true and they're amazing or they're fake and they're amazing.
Yeah. That's right.
It's one or the other.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of funny though, because I approach it the way that you do, Stephen. I'll always put a rational explanation before anything else. But I'll watch like a horror film that's, you know, about possession, or I'll watch, you know, a you know, top five ghost caught on camera video while I'm, you know, in bed or something. And like a true crime documentary doesn't bother me at all. Well, I won't get creeped out, but I'll finish watching that. I'll turn my light out and I will never run to my bed as fast as I would have in that moment.
I don't get scared by movies too often, but one of the last movies to scare me was the first Paranormal Activity.
That was really
it. Just it that worked. It just worked for me.
Yeah,
it just it hit me in the right place. It's a movie I have a lot of admiration for, and it was like, and it just hit me in that place. You're right. There's something about that kind of storytelling that it has its place. It has its purpose.
Oh yeah, 100%. I remember The Conjuring 2. Shat me up quite a bit the first time I watched. Maybe it's because I hate dolls and that was the overriding emotion.
I'll do it.
Sure.
But I remember I was watching it and it was when I was in university accommodation and my bed was sort of built into the wall, I suppose. And I had the window behind me and it had a blind. It didn't have curtains and my window was open a little bit. And I remember I got to like a bit where there was going to be a jump scare. And at exactly the moment the jump scare came, there was a slight gust of wind and it blew my blind and it like sort of did that on my head. And I have never shat myself before like that badly.
if you don't mind, Dom, I have a story for you.
Yeah, go.
So when I was in college, the first time I went to college, they brought in a psychic and they did this whole like supernatural week around Halloween. They never did it again because they brought in a paranormal investigator that showed pictures of real dead bodies. And so, yeah, and this guy took his work seriously. And so for him, he was like treating it like a scientific endeavor. Like he was actually showed this stuff and the school freaked out about it. They didn't like it one bit. I actually thought his whole thing was very interesting. But anyway, but I'm that kind of person. But they also brought in a psychic. And so like me and like 100 other people that were in the dorm, and it was supposedly haunted because all dorms are. We were in there in a circle and she was in the middle and she was walking around in a circle and she was like talking to spirits or whatnot. And she looked dead at me, dead serious, and said, "I recognize you." And then she walked on and I was like, holy shit. I was so terrified. And then she came back around the circle. She looked at me and she said, "I saw you in a play 3 weeks ago. You were great."
I need you to know, on my end of this recording, you went, she looked right at me and it froze and you didn't say anything for like, well, what seemed like a minute. And it was absolutely terrifying in the context of that perfect timing of that story.
What if I had just deleted?
I looked over at Dom's window and I was like, did he do that on purpose? That was cool.
I think,
and then I'm never heard from again.
Not gonna lie, if you deleted, I probably would have yeeted my laptop at the wall and then just ran.
I'll finish the story for you, Leo, later.
But yes, I wasn't sure how much you knew about the house, but hopefully you guys learned something new you know, got some new information. But we hope you enjoyed today's episode. It was lovely having you guys back on again. I'm so stoked that we could get another recording in.
Me too.
You know,
absolute pleasure.
So fun. So I know that you mentioned it at the beginning, but for the people that are still sort of sticking around, just a little reminder of where they can find you and, you know, when you release episodes and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so find us on Spoils of Horror. If you want to look us up on social media, we're on Twitter and Instagram. We like to have fun over there. Plus, also, if you want to listen to the show, we are on Spotify, we're on Apple, we're pretty much everywhere that you can find a podcast. I'm always terrible about mentioning the, like, places that no one goes to podcasts.
Pandora.
We're on Stitcher! And don't forget
Reviews on
Podbean.
The big will hurt us.
Yeah, but we're over there. We cover everything that's lost, popular, bizarre, hardcore. We cover a range of horror movies. So there's definitely something over there that if you want to just have some fun with, kind of lay back and enjoy an hour and 30 minutes of your favorite horror movie, we got it for you.
Beautiful. On our end, you can find Horror House wherever you find podcasts, even on Stitcher and Pandora and Podbean and...
Podbean.
What other ones? Spreaker.
Got a MySpace page too.
And you can also find us on social media at horrorhouse_pod. Don't hesitate to DM with any case suggestions, any feedback. We like to hear nice things about ourselves. Stephen is looking very in thought, so I expect a DM from Spores of Horror.
I got something for you. I like to be a supplier for my you know, my true crime podcasts.
Okay. And also, don't forget to rate and review if you enjoy what we do here at Horror House. You can rate on Spotify. You can rate and review on the website and also on Apple Podcasts, which I think helps with the algorithm as well. Like, the more reviews you get on Apple Podcasts, they like boost you or something. I don't
know. It's true.
So yes, please say good things about us, because we like to hear nice things, because we're, you know, egotistical like that. We're not. We're very nice people. Also, if you want to support us financially, you can donate to the show with the Buy Me a Coffee link, and you can also buy some merch. Look out for the thong. It's coming. You know, get it. That can be a Valentine's Day present, you know, next year or something. Get your partner a...
It's an everyday present.
Christmas. Thanksgiving here in America. Big here.
Because who wouldn't want a thong with all four of our faces on them? Let's be honest.
That's right.
But yes, thank you for listening today, everyone. We hope you enjoyed. And Leo and Stephen, see us out. It's all yours.
Oh, well... thanks for being here, meatbags around the world. We are happy to be part of the show with you.
Yep. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Make Dom bring us back.
Yes. Bye. Absolutely. #bring back Spores of Horror.
#spoils of horror.
Stay spooky, everybody.